tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Embrace Your Storm. I'm Jonathan Nadeau, your host, and I have an awesome interview today. Today I'm speaking with Chris, and he is from Benson Amps, and his last name is Benson, and you can tie the two together. But Chris, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. We were talking a lot before the interview, and I just appreciate you coming on before you had any actual content to listen to. It's greatly appreciated. But so now, Chris, people have heard the first interview. They kind of have an understanding of where I'm coming from. And we talked a little bit, like I said, before the interview, and you know where we're coming from here with like Tornado and Embracing Your Storm. So when you created Benson Amps, what was your goal in mind? Like, you obviously had an idea of a sound you wanted to produce, because why else would it, you know, you have created your own amp. So what were you looking to do with Benson Amps?
Let's see here. So honestly, it's been kind of the goalposts have been kind of shifting.
I can
all
imagine.
Along. I didn't set out when I designed my first amp, I didn't, you know, think I was going to have an amplifier company. So I kind of designed it for what I was looking for in a guitar amp. And that's kind of informed like all the design since. It's like, well, is this something that you want? Is this something that you would use for making music? So everything is sort of custom made for me. And, you know, I've taken the conceit that, you know, if I like it, maybe other people will like it.
That's pretty awesome that you get to make an amp that you yourself would enjoy, but by extension, a lot of other people get to enjoy it also.
yeah, that's been the whole thing.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I think I was trying to describe the sound to you a little earlier, and
the sound you're trying to, you know, that you wanted, hence why you're making your own amp.
Yeah, so you know, I've always been fascinated with things that don't sound distorted, but they just sound good. And the reason they sound good is that they're distorting in a very specific way. And it's just, you know, you can add a lot of harmonic distortion to a piece of music before you even start to realize it. And then, you know, even once you realize it, it doesn't become unpleasant. So I'm kind of looking for that euphonic kind of distortion out of the amps. And, you know, the question, is it dirty? Is it clean? You know, it's dirty clean. We're kind of going for a dirty clean sound. And I think I was using some analogies, you know, for, you know, flavor cooking or whatever. And I was describing some other amps like Fenders sounding sweet and sugary. And it's really easy to kind of listen to. And then other amps like metal amps are sort of like atomic fireballs. And I think we're sort of like sweet and sour chicken.
Okay. Yeah. I see that.
You kind of can't really tell what's going on, but you like it.
Now we didn't talk about this before the interview. Now with what kind of tubes are you using in the amp, and how many tubes are you using? Like what's kind of the tube setup in there? I mean, if you can tell, like, I don't know if you have know if you have any secret sauce or not.
No, that's that's on the website. The main power tube I use is a 6V6. I don't know why. I think I just prefer that sound, especially for American style. But I've also branched out into like kind of more European style tubes, like pentodes.
Okay.
EL84s and 34s as well. We don't do 6L6s. and almost all the preamp tubes are just regular old 12AX7s. Being a musician, I wanted people who were on tour to be able to just buy what they needed to throw in their amp wherever they were in any
time. That's cool. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. That's a good design.
Yeah, they're all just Guitar Center, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear. Yeah, it makes sense. Like you said, if you're traveling, you're gigging, and your tubes break, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and also it's sort of a... I firmly believe that sound comes from the design more than the components. And so you can actually...
I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole question about why something sounds the way it does, or a piece of gear specifically, is it the capacitors and transformers and resistors and the actual types of materials those are made out of? Or is it, can you take an amp schematic and just put, you know, the opposite components that you would normally put in, and will it sound about the same? And the answer is usually yes. I mean, I think people get obsessed with components because it's a lot harder, it's a lot harder to change the design of an amp than it is to change the tube. So people get obsessed with, oh, well, this tube is how you get that sound. I'm like, well, if I change this capacitor value, it's going to sound completely different. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of design over components. That being said, we use really fancy components because the components do make a little bit of a difference.
Sure. That's interesting. I like that.
But yeah, but when it comes to tubes, it's not like I'm going to, you know, put some crazy, you know, German tube that you can only get on eBay into the amp because I want people to use them. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The one thing that I like that when we were talking about kind of the sound of the amp before the interview was, you were kind of talking about the distortion, where like there's distortion before you even hear it. And then there's this other type of distortion that gives us this three-dimensional kind of, I don't remember how you're going into it, but which I'd want you to go into in a second. But what I was going to say is, it made me realize, like, the way you're explaining it, it sounds like your amp, it, like, almost anyone that, you know, is going to play your amp, they're going to plug, you know, their guitar into your amp, them interpreting your amp, you know, through their instrument, it almost sounds like if they look hard enough or try hard enough, they're going to find what they're looking for.
Maybe.
I shouldn't say everyone, but it just sounds like the flexibility of it, and just knowing that it's tubes, and, you know, knowing from the way players can attack, you know, their instrument, just their, each player has their own way they play their instrument. They're you know, they have their own interpretation that's going to come out through the amp, you know, and through the tubes.
One thing that I've noticed with my amps, first of all, they'll make bad instruments sound bad. They'll make bad pedals sound bad, and we have the experience all the time where someone, you know, I love your amp, but it ruined my pedal for me because I could actually hear what it was doing, and I had to get another pedal, or, you know, whatever. And they're usually not that bummed because they get to buy a pedal. Where was I spinning off into?
Yeah, you can make a bad guitar.
Oh yeah, you know. Yeah. So the funny, so I bring these things to NAMM, which is the North American Music Manufacturers or Merchants Association kind of meetings, I did before the pandemic. And it was really funny because some players would step up and they wouldn't play any differently through my amp than they would their normal, you know, their normal one when trying it out. And you could, and then others would actually respond to what they were hearing the amp doing. And those players loved it, whereas the first type of player that didn't actually change what they were doing,
yes,
like, this is frustrating, this doesn't respond like my other one
you're almost kind of making my point then, because that's what I'm saying. I think if you're stubborn might be the wrong word, but if you're don't understand what the amp's doing and you're trying to, you know, smash it, you know, everything looks like it needs a hammer kind of thing, then you're not going to get what you want out of it. But like you said, if those musicians realize, like, oh wait, there's something else going on here, like, let me maybe not smash my string as hard or whatever it is, you know, and then they might be like, oh, I see what's going on here, and you know, they're able to maneuver with the amp and see things that weren't there before.
Exactly. Cool. It's most amps aren't like that for whatever reason. Most amps aren't like that, so they're used to just plugging into, like, here, I'm going to shred now. And it, with mine, you know, I remember watching Bill Frisell try one of my amps out. And he, I think he played two sets at the Aladdin here in Portland. He's, yeah, I don't know if you know Bill Frisell or not.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
He's like a, he's kind of a, this well-known kind of jazz guitarist. But
oh, nice.
He's almost just as well-known for like his, the tone of his guitar.
Okay, awesome. Now I'm about to check him out after now.
Yeah, he's amazing. But he usually plays Fenders and, you know, does the sugar thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I watched him play two sets. And, you know, the entire first set, you can tell he was a little uncomfortable playing the app. I was like, oh, man, he's trying to play it like his Fender. And it was like, okay, well, maybe this isn't, you know, his thing. And the second set, he came out and I could tell he was starting to pick up on how to actually play that, like he's starting to interact with it, and it was really cool to see, you know, from the audience in this packed theater, this guy kind of like having this conversation with, negotiating with this guitar amplifier. Dude,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing about what we do, and I'm not really sure why that is, but it's just kind of how it is.
So one thing I want to, we kind of glossed or skipped over this a little bit. You have, like, building guitar amps is not in your realm at all. At one point you were going to school as an English major. Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit about that, how you got into, you know, the carpentry, and then that led you to, you know, like, because people hearing this are going to be like, what? Like, this guy didn't start off like he wasn't born into like some ant building family or whatever. Like, yeah, you guys have to hear this guy's story. This is the day and age that we live in. So, you know, I don't know where you want to go with it, Chris, but, you know, it's all yours. Like, let him know he kind of stumbled. I shouldn't say stumbled into this. You were perfectly led into it. But
yeah. Yeah. It's weird. No, it was kind of stumbling, but, you know, in retrospect, it seems like it was just the perfect confluence of events and personalities. Yeah. So, so I was kind of like a black sheep growing up, comes from a family of scientists, and I love my family. They've all done very well. But, you know, I was a musician growing up, and they were, didn't totally understand it. And in fact, they're like, you know, they didn't even really let me get into guitar amplifiers or anything like that. Even though I was, even back then I was like, the only thing I wanted to do was play through distortion.
Yeah.
You know, in high school. And
right.
That's probably why I ended up doing this whole thing. No, seriously.
No, I that's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, you had all this pent up like aggression. You're like,
So, you know, got into, I was playing in bands and stuff in high school. Went off to college, became like an English major, kind of writing kind of person. At the same time, playing in bands, still, you know, touring around the East Coast and whatnot. Ended up moving out to Seattle and getting married to my wife, who I met in college, after college and the band's breaking up and everything. And, you know, I was an English major, so the only job I could find was being a carpenter. Well, started as a laborer and eventually became kind of a journey level carpenter, just working on houses and doing that whole thing, and still playing in bands the whole time. And let's see, we went on a long road trip at some point, came back, and it's like, kind of bands were winding down. Around that time, I decided to quit smoking cigarettes, and I needed something to do with my nervous energy. And around the same time, I, you know, just played my first tube amp in some rehearsal space somewhere, and I was like, oh, I need one of these. Decided to try to build one. So I, instead of smoking ciggies, I just got really into reading about tube amps and started to try to learn how to build my own and kind of do it DIY. And eventually I succeeded after a few months, and maybe it was more than that. Anyways, I got really into that. Then I went, you know, put a pin in the amp stuff and went to grad school for education. Finished that in about a year and a half, decided it wasn't for me. At the same time, the job market was completely destroyed. It was 2008. And went to go work as a tube amp technician for Allen Amps in Seattle, and happened to learn from an analog engineer, electrical engineer, Ben, and got a bunch of other theory that I'd been missing before, and got into amps again.
Man.
And then, that's kind of the whole, those are all the jobs and
experiences all that I had together. So before you became that amp tech, you had already built kind of your first working amp that you did all on your own, right? And then
I built a few and had modified other ones.
Okay. And then so when you got this other job, like you said, it kind of filled in the blanks of some other kind of knowledge you're kind of missing. You're like, oh wait, now this makes a little more sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After you got that job, like this part, that's why I was saying, like, I wouldn't say you stumbled into it. You were like led perfectly into this kind of next part. Like it was a friend of yours that his friend had wanted to commission you to build an amp for him. And so you started doing that. But then this person that you commissioned the amp for, they're like, hey man, you need to do this as a full-time gig. You need to make these amps full-time. And then that guy was like, let me help you. Like, that's just crazy, dude.
Yep. It's nuts.
It is so crazy. Like, it's awesome and crazy, but it's like, that's the day and age we live in, man. And like, it's just so cool that you were like, man, you saw that Fender tube amp and you're like, I need something like this, but you're like, but not this, you know, like I need something, but this isn't it. Like you're like, I'm going to have to build it myself. Cause I know what I want. And you went and did it. Like that's awesome. And then, like I said, because you had this sound in you that you wanted to hear, other people get to enjoy that amp too, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Like, so how long have you been building the amps and stuff? Like how many, like what kind of models do you have? Like talk about some of them so everyone can kind of, you know, hear about some of your stuff.
The amp that kind of started the business is a design I actually made back at my, you know, amp tech job.
Mm.
And that was the Monarch amp, and kind of all the other amps are based off of that in one way or another.
Okay.
So, you know, different wattages, you know, different loudnesses, sizes.
Okay.
I think we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think 7 regular amp models that are all different variants of that first thing. And then we have a couple spring reverb units as well.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And then, cool. And then a bunch of effects pedals as well.
Oh, I was going to ask, actually, did you ever venture off and do effects pedals too, since you're doing the amp stuff?
Yeah, it was kind of... Yeah, I was interested in pedals as well, and I think I had like a little baby pedal company for a second, and Robert Keeley, a well-known pedal maker.
Oh yeah,
I think he came to visit my shop once, and you know he was like, "Hey, what's that?" I was like, "Oh, this is a thing that we used to make." Plugged it in, he was like, "Oh, this is great," and took it home, and he was raving to all of his employees about it for a while, and they kept telling me, "It's like." Eventually, he called me up. He's like, hey, man, if you ever want to make a pedal, let me know. We'll manufacture it for you.
Dude, how cool is that?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Man, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So like when he walked in your shop, were you like, oh, my God, it's Robert Keeley. Like, did you know, like, who he was or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I'd known about him since, you know, since I got into it. I'd known, you know, he's a legend.
Right, exactly. That's why I just wasn't sure if, like, you know, because sometimes people – you know, when out in public or whatever, like people like that, like I wouldn't know if, you know, sometimes maybe you wouldn't recognize them or whatever, you know, but yeah, I just wasn't sure if you're just like, I can't believe we just walked in my store, you know?
It was really humbling because, you know, he's got this giant facility and a bunch of employees, and he walks into, at that point, I think I had like maybe 6 or 7 people, and we were like a pirate ship. It was crazy because, you know, I didn't know. You know, as much as I knew about guitar amps, I didn't really know much about business or but dude, it's his fault.
That's so funny. So what was that pedal then? What was that one that he's looking at? I was like, wow, this is really cool. Do you remember what it was?
It was an Octave Fuzz. Nice. That I designed.
Oh, is that because you're a Jimi Hendrix fan?
That was actually because I was more of like a hardcore just weird experimental music fan.
That's cool. Yeah. I get that.
Jimi Hendrix was, you know, that led to some other pedal designs, but that was purely Northwest, just aggressive music. at all. Like, just, you know, get fired from your singer-songwriter gig.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, man. So it was cool. That is an awesome story, man. Like, and it's so funny, like, he got you to, you know, or his company even got you to make the pedals. Just like, hey, man, if you're going to make them, I'll manufacture them, just make them. It's funny. He wanted to take some of the load off for you just so you make them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't make them for free, but.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he doesn't. But
it was really, really kind of him to, you know, even. And he's really good at that. He's good at, like, finding people who, I don't know, like, I think I make pretty good pedals and I feel like I should have been helped. And he was good at recognizing that, I think. It was one of his gifts.
Definitely. No, that's awesome. Do you have any plans, like, in the, you know, in the, this upcoming year here in 2022, any new products or whatever you might be working on?
Let's see. We're coming out with an actual, we haven't had a bass amp for a few years.
Okay.
And so we're kind of working on releasing a bass amp.
Nice.
And it's, you know, it's kind of slow going. Like, I kind of made it, for, I don't know if you know the band Fugazi.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Joe Lally and Brendan from Fugazi now play in a band called The Mesthetics.
Okay.
And they came through on tour and they wanted me to, like, backline, you know, their Northwest kind of leg of their tour. And it was really cool because I'm a big fan, but they asked for a bass amp and I didn't have one other than this weird thing that I made for a bandmate. And Joe fell in love with it. He's like, can we make something like this for me? I was like, yeah, totally. You're Joe Lally.
That's I was going to say, if I say no, someone's going to kill me.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are so humble that they were shocked that I would even make them anything.
But that's really cool to hear. Actually. Oh,
they're pretty cool guys.
Dude, they're freaking awesome. That band, Fugazi, is amazing. Like, and I mentioned that to so many people. They're like, who? I'm just like, oh my God, how do you not know this band? But, that's another amazing story. Like, see, you know, you got Robert Keeley getting you to make pedals. You have Jolie making you, having you make bass amps. I mean, I wonder who else the universe is going to send your way to make
them. Oh, it's been a nonstop onslaught of stuff exactly like that. And I could sit here for all day and tell you, like, all the amazing, like, lucky or providential things that have helped us out. Like, we get way more than we deserve.
That's awesome. It's
awesome.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. Is there anything you want to mention, anything else to kind of wrap it up here? It's obviously, is it bensonamps.com is the website, right?
Yeah, bensonamps.com. I mean, we have, like, I guess I should publicly apologize for a wait list.
Oh, yeah, well, I think everyone's expecting that, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very hard to get the amps, and there's not that many on the used market. So
yeah, well, that's a good problem for you.
I feel really bad, though, because if people first hear if people are first hearing my company now, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I'd like to order an amp, and they're emailing us on the website, I'm like,
give me 8 months.
No. It's more like 10 years
at this point. Wow, dude. Wow.
It's dumb. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, people can still get amps through, like, if they order it through a dealer, maybe, or reverb.com. Sometimes there's stuff.
Sure.
There's nothing on Reverb right now, but, like, and every once in a while, we'll put stuff on reverb.com to
just,
but in terms of, like, a list of interest, it's like, it's never so freaking long.
Yeah. So dude, that's a good problem, man. Congratulations for
it's
that.
A good problem, but it's a little embarrassing when people are like, I wanted an amp.
yeah. Sorry, dude. Like, you and lots of other people. But no, that's great. Is there, obviously there's YouTube videos and stuff for people to hear, kind of people playing your amps and stuff, so they can check that out too, obviously. And then you're obviously on all the other social media sites and whatnot too, so.
Yeah, except for Twitter. I don't love Twitter.
Yeah, that social media is not a blind person's game, I'll tell you that.
I can imagine.
And especially Twitter. Imagine looking at a Twitter post being blind. Like, my computer talks, so I can do anything a sighted person can do. But imagine hearing, like, garbly goop of, like, a tweet. It's like, hashtag this, and there's so many like abbreviations for everything. Like what? It's like Twitter talk. And you're like, I have no idea what the heck people are even saying. You know, it's like, goodness gracious.
Can I ask you something?
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Do you, like, what is your experience? What is the blind person's experience of clickbait articles?
Well, I guess if the headline catches you, you can click on it. But like, I have a technology background and an online marketing kind of background, so I don't fall for that. But
you can tell pretty quick.
yeah, just by kind of how headlines are written or what they say. Like, yeah, not, I don't think so. And honestly, I would imagine, you know, most blind people, at least not that I would want to speak for blind people, you know, in general or whatever, but for me, I hate probably 99 like news article kind of sites anyways, where clickbait usually, only because they're so full of you know, all those freaking ads and everything. Mm-hmm. My screen reader gets bogged down. It doesn't know how to deal with anything, and like the website comes down to a crawl. I'm like, forget it. Like, I don't even care. Like,
yeah, that's more of what I was asking, because you know, they'll just, you know, it's not like I read a bunch of clickbait or anything. Like, anyone with a brain can tell what it is, but
right.
You know, it's just, I've been through a couple. It's like, oh my God, you know, ads keep popping up. The thing just refreshed randomly. It's like,
exactly. Yeah. Or the article's like, oh, it's 20 pages long, you know, and like each paragraph is on a page or whatever. And you're like, forget this. Like, there are some browser extensions that will take articles that are on like multi-page, like, you know, 15, 20 page things, and put it all in one long page. Like, there are browser extensions that'll do that. But getting to browser extensions is impossible being a blind person. So that's out of, you know.
Well, if I ever decide to pursue clickbaiting seriously, I'll ask what that extension is.
Exactly. But Chris, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all the work you've put into Benson Amps, because like I said, this day and age that we live in, it's just awesome to see people that have that drive to get it done. And like, and look what happens, like, when you start, like, you know, you said this kind of off, you know, before the interview, like, I'm not a, like, business person. I don't, you know, do this or that. But it's like, you started doing the thing that you loved or wanted to do. And then during your path, your journey, you know, this guy gets put in front of you, this guy, you know, this person. And then before you know it, here you are, you know? And I just love that, you know, people just have to kind of take action and start moving forward, right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. And again, that's what we want to do here at Tornado, people. Just take that first step. There's something inside of you that's driving you crazy. You want to do something. You want to get something done. There's something you can hear or whatever it is. And just embrace that storm inside of you. Take that first step and get it done. And Chris, again, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate your time and all of this. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, and very nice to meet you.
I appreciate it. And everyone, thanks for listening and downloading. And don't forget to embrace your storm.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.